Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Hey everybody, it's Kate.
And Devin.
Welcome to Med Crimes.
You beat me.
I did. Yeah. Hey, guys.
We're back.
We are just coming off of the sort of crazy wave of Dr. Petio and moving into something else.
That was a deep dive.
That was the deepest dive.
That was like,
that we've done.
That was like Titanic deep.
So
I won't say anything else about that.
That was a
I think it's too soon.
And I'm ready though to like move on and close that chapter and do something else. We are on the also like sort of coming down from the high of having Hospice Nurse Allie as a special guest, which was like
was
the
so
most
amazing.
Fun. She is literally our spirit animal, and she was just such a pleasure and so fun. And we're definitely gonna have her back. But if you want to see more of her or hear more of her, please. Get on TikTok and search Hospice Nurse Allie, or you can go to @nurse.allie with an IE, and you can search the same handle on Instagram. And she is just so funny. Like, it's just such a fun, like, nice distraction that's super relatable, especially for us nurses. I know there's a lot of you listening. So thank you again, Hospice Nurse Allie.
Thank you,
we'll
Allie,
see you
for joining our show and giving us your time. It was wonderful.
It was sort of the best. We loved it.
Oh.
I've had, so today was, I just have to, like, bleh for a minute, because today was such a, like, crap day, and it wasn't anything specific. It was one of those days where, like, I just had a lot to do, and it was, like, just a cascade of, like, you know, things just not going well and not going right, and it was all little stuff, and, like, none of it mattered, but by the end of the day, I was like, oh, okay, I'm, like, totally over this day. And so I walked down here into the basement to record. And hi, Brad, if you're listening, I haven't told him this yet. I like walked over and I remember him mentioning, you know, we really need to organize the basement. And I was like, you know, he's right. It is such a mess down here. Before I hop on, I'm just going to move a couple of things. The first thing I pick up is his ratchet set, which was sitting upright. And I pick it up just to scoot it over a little bit. And it slams open because it wasn't latched shut. I don't know why. And all of the pieces go rolling all over my basement. And if anybody has ever had to pick up a scattered ratchet set, knows that you have to look at every single piece to find the number and then
match
find
the
tiny slot. And as somebody who does not know their way around a ratchet set, like myself, it took me 20 minutes of sitting on my cement floor just grumbling to myself about how this was one more thing that didn't go right. But finally, we're sitting here and we're recording and we're in our happy place. So I'm moving on from all that. I'm moving
on. Do you
know what your name is today?
Do you know what your name is today? Nurse Ratchet.
I was Nurse Ratchet for like 20 minutes. That was a good joke also.
Hey.
Good job.
I got him in my pocket.
All right. So Patreons, we have some.
Tell us about our Patreons today, Kate.
All right. We have Terry Alejos.
Ooh, hi Terry.
Terry.
That is a sexy name.
We have a lot of very sexy names, like a lot of very sexy names. We have Jonas Folk. Hi, Jonas.
Hi, Jonas.
We have Susie Quinn.
Hi, Susie Quinn. Welcome to the family, all of you.
I have more. There are more.
You have more.
I have Lily Dolman. Hi, Lily.
Lily, I am partial to people named Lily.
And we have an Ashley Van Lowe, and that sounds familiar. I think she's a rejoin. So welcome back, Ashley.
Oh, welcome back, Ashley.
Rare.
Thank you, all of you, for your contributions. We really appreciate it. It is going right to our show and helping us out and helping us grow and get better and better.
For real. And then I do have to redo a shout out from last time.
Oh, we're redoing
because
one.
I got a message from this lovely lady who's a Patreon who said, thank you so much for mentioning me, like NBD, but you mispronounced my name and I apologize profusely. And I asked her how to pronounce it. So I'm going to redo it.
Okay.
So this is Michelle Cron, not Crone, Cron.
Cron.
So she says, it's like Ron with a C. So thank you, Michelle Cron. And I'm sorry that I had to do it a second time.
Thank you, Ron with a C.
You guys are sophisticated and sexy and fun little fawns.
Aww,
that are hopping around.
Fun.
No, not a baby deer fawn. A fawn, F-A-U-N, which is like a satyr-y creature that's like half deer, half human.
Now I get it. Okay.
Okay. Welcome to fawnhood, you guys. Love you all.
Welcome to our fawnhood.
Yes. You guys are literally the best. Shall we dive in?
Yes. Let's do
this.
Is that
what we're doing?
What are we talking about today?
Okay. So we are going to talk about a case that was very heavily covered by the media and is not super old. So a lot of you may know exactly what I'm referring to as I start getting into this.
Or
you might have recognized the name. You might. It was something that, I mean, everybody heard about when it happened back in 2019. And it's one of the cases that I remember hearing about it. And it sort of is like what inspired me to want to like look more into medical true crime and like eventually form a podcast. It's like sort of one of those things that like inspired me to do that because this case was just like so shocking to me. I'm not going to do one of those little summaries again because I want to just like let it unfold sort of organically and not, you know, I want it to all sort of like unfold as I tell the story.
That's how you keep me on the edge of my seats.
It's a true story.
I say seats and, like I'm sitting in two of them, first of all.
Mm-hmm. This episode, yeah, Devin, there are some trigger warnings with this episode.
Hey.
This episode is heavily themed with sexual assault. There is also discussion of pregnancy, childbirth, and newborn resuscitation. So any of that is particularly triggering for you, might not be the best episode for you, and feel free to skip ahead or re-listen to something old. There's that.
See, I'm out.
Okay. Bye, Devin. It's just me and you guys. Devin's out.
Right, bro.
So the day starts off normal at Hacienda Healthcare Facility, which is a nursing home and skilled rehab in Phoenix, Arizona, in December of 2018. In particular, this was December 29th, 2018. Unbeknownst to staff, though, something was about to happen that would absolutely rock the facility and the community and everyone in it for, like, years to come. Mm. So staff members whom had been caring for a 29-year-old long-term care resident of the facility realized that this resident was in some kind of a medical crisis. She had been visibly uncomfortable for some time now. Her pain sort of started to escalate or seemingly escalate and worsen, and staff kind of were struggling to try and get her comfortable and figure out exactly what was going on when they made a shocking discovery. This woman had given birth to a baby. Once staff realized this, immediately they called 911. One of the staff allegedly told the dispatcher, quote, "We had no idea she was pregnant," end quote. The staff at the facility who witnessed the birth noted that the baby was not breathing and required some resuscitation when EMS did arrive. The woman and her baby were then transported to the nearest hospital. Of note, the victim's name has not been publicized anywhere in order to protect, you know, the privacy of her family and her child. So I'm going to refer to her as the victim only because I do not have a name.
Okay.
So there were a lot of problems with this scenario. First of all, this is a young woman.
I have many questions, as you know.
Yes, I'm going to answer them, Devin.
I have many questions.
Yes, be patient. I promise we will get to it. First of all, this is a young woman. She's 29 years old, but she is profoundly debilitated. She has been a long-term resident of Hacienda due to her profound disability. In fact, her caregivers and family, as well as the media, have described her as being in what's called a persistent vegetative state.
Okay.
So she is completely nonverbal.
Mm-hmm.
Thus, is in absolutely no way could she willingly engage in
She could no way could provide consent.
No, mm-hmm. she absolutely could not.
Or participate actively.
Nope, absolutely right. not. She does not make any of her own healthcare decisions. Her family does do that for her. So she, like you said, could not give any sort of consent, any way, shape, or form. So this could only mean that she had been sexually assaulted by somebody. Secondly, she had resided in this facility for the past 14 years and really does not leave the facility.
Whoa.
So this meant that she was sexually assaulted by somebody
there.
At Hacienda. Mm-hmm. Third, she had gone through an entire pregnancy without any prenatal care whatsoever. And despite this woman having carried a baby to what was felt to be near term, no one seemed to realize upon assessing her that she was heavily pregnant. And as they never realized, she unfortunately continued taking many medications that are not safe to take during pregnancy, and she had zero prenatal screening care.
I'm assuming she was not obese.
No,
like
she was
they
not
would
obese.
Have been able to physically see a growing uterus.
Yep. And we will get into what the clinical exam found right. and what things were attributed okay. to, and it's all very this whole scenario is remarkable that it unfolded the way it did.
Wow.
So immediately when doctors at the hospital and staff at Hacienda realized, you know, what had happened here, authorities were contacted immediately by staff at Hacienda and at the hospital. And an investigation was launched so quickly. So this is what we know about the victim. Again, name is not publicized. She goes by the victim. And at the time of the birth of her son, it was a boy. She was 29 years old. As I said, she's a long-term resident of the facility and described as being in a persistent vegetative state, or a PVS. Now, a PVS is a disorder of the level of consciousness, which is often the result of severe brain damage. The media did report in a few publications that she was comatose, but this does not seem to be the case. And there's a difference between the two, which I'm going to get into a little bit. So a coma or a comatose patient is often somebody who is completely unresponsive to any inward or outward stimuli whatsoever. Whereas patients in a PVS can actually have a varying degree of responsiveness, and they can have actually some limited reactions towards outward and inward stimuli. So, for example, they can react when someone feeds them. They can grimace or cry when they're in pain. Mm-hmm. They can move their extremities and their neck a little bit. Typically, they cannot walk and they don't make movements purposefully. So they won't reach for something to grab it, but they might move in more of like a spastic way.
Or a reactive kind of like.
Or a reactive mm-hmm. kind of way. Exactly. So this was sort of the victim's level of functioning, in that she was able to move her arms and legs. She did moan and make noises. She was able to move her head and her neck, not purposefully, but she was able to move. And she did at times smile, and she did at times cry. And she would tend to cry and grimace if she were uncomfortable or in pain for any reason.
Do we know, you might not know, but I was just curious, do we know like what caused her injury?
We do. So I had seen in a publication that she was born in 1989, and her brain damage was thought to be the result of seizures that she experienced at age 3.
Wow. Oh, wow.
So,
that's
yeah.
hard.
I know. Oh, so, wow. I mean, the vast, vast majority of her life, she's been profoundly debilitated and needing 24-hour caregiver support. So, back to December of 2018. So December 29th of 2018. Upon examining her, a gynecologist at the hospital didn't identify any outward complications on her end. She actually did pretty well. She was able to pass the placenta and had minimal bleeding and really minimal tearing that they could see. They did, however, note when they examined her that she most certainly would have been obviously extremely uncomfortable during this acute period of having been in labor.
Hello.
And she likely suffered tremendously, not really being able to express her suffering or communicate what was going on, which is just like so sad. Sure. And she must have been so scared. Yeah,
absolutely.
So during her exam, doctors did note injuries to her perineum that are commonly seen in patients whom have been long-term victims of sexual assault.
Oh, no.
So this gets a little bit detailed and graphic here. This includes gaping of the perineum and gaping of the anus, which indicate repeated trauma and, in all likelihood, repeated anal and vaginal rape.
Oh my gosh.
So
that is awful. That is terrible.
And I mean, at no point in her life, I mean, since age 3, she has been in this state. So she, it's not like this was an old thing. This,
well, she's been there since this 15 happened. Years old. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So she's, I mean, that's something that happened at Hacienda. Doctors theorized based on how they obviously didn't know exactly when the baby was conceived and couldn't tell exactly how close to term this baby was. They theorized that she was likely impregnated by the assailant between February and April of 2019. Later on during the investigation, it was noted that doctors also had stated that this was, quote, not a nulliparous event, end quote. So basically
explain
what that means
quote.
Is that they were.
Thank you.
So they were not able to confirm without a shadow of a doubt that this was her first pregnancy. So they saw clinical, you know, evidence that she might have been not a prima para, as in this may not have been her first pregnancy, but they could not definitively prove this. She obviously had no other children or babies,
but she
was a woman of childbearing age, and she may have been pregnant before and miscarried, but they could not confirm this definitively.
Oh my goodness. So when they found out that she was in labor, was she crowning? Was the baby out?
The baby came out of her, and that's when they realized that she was having a baby.
Oh my goodness.
I know.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get 3 Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
So, a little bit on the facility. So, Hacienda is a nonprofit organization, and one of many like facilities in the area that bear that same company name. So kind of similar to actually the company that you and I work for. There's like, you know, this Overlord company and then a bunch of other facilities. Mm-hmm. So Hacienda Healthcare was run by CEO Bill Timmons, whom had been at the helm for many, 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 many years. And we'll have a little bit more on him a little bit later. Hacienda's website boasts intermediate care, residential care, long-term care, home health care services, PTOT services, as well as respite care. And on their facility description, they state that they provide specialized care for infants, children, and adults who require a higher level of medical care or rehabilitation. So they really provide that, like, across the lifespan.
I was going to say from birth till death.
Care? Yeah, yeah, basically. So, which, you know, is very impressive, and we need more facilities like that that, you know, do that well. The facility the victim appeared to be in was the Hacienda ICF, or the Intermediate Care Facility, and the clientele in these facilities tend to be, like, a little bit higher acuity and a little bit more complex than your regular, like, short-term rehab and nursing home patients, which makes sense to, you know, that she would be in that mm-hmm. building. So the victim's parents were, of course, absolutely horrified by the news that all of a sudden their daughter had delivered a baby and had been pregnant for a long time.
Could you imagine being the nurse that had to make that phone call?
That would be the worst phone call.
Wow.
The worst phone call. Mm-hmm. So thankfully, EMS were successful in resuscitating the baby. And the baby was a boy, like I said. Yeah, his name is unreleased, just like the mm-hmm. victim's is. Now, this was made even more horrifying because her parents had previously made a special request that was noted, that was supposed to be noted in her chart, that she can only be cared for by female staff. They had specifically requested this because they had apparently some kind of encounter at some point with a male staff member where they felt she was touched inappropriately.
Oh, gosh.
And it's not released who this was or if it had anything to do with who the assailant ended mm-hmm. up being or mm-hmm. what exactly unfolded, but
there was documentation. It just made them take this precaution. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So but the problem was,
it's literally part of her care plan. And they had made this request specifically, and it was noted, you know, it was documented that they had made this request. But that begs the question, was Hacienda just completely ignoring this request and allowing male staff in and out of her room? Or was somebody just, like, sneaking in there and flying by the radar to assault her? Which seems less likely because this facility isn't very big. And, like, you know, somebody would have seen a male staff member who was, like, sneaking in and out of a room. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, in the months leading up to this, there were noticeable clinical changes in the victim that were documented that under any other circumstance might suggest pregnancy and would get a clinician thinking about pregnancy. In fact, there was documentation to suggest that staff had noticed her distended abdomen and that she had gained weight. They were, in fact, treating her for weight gain by putting her on a calorie-restricted diet.
Oh, no.
And they attributed her distended abdomen to constipation.
Oh, gosh.
And they were treating her with laxatives. So, no one did seem to track...
But the distended abdomen didn't go away with all those laxatives. It just got bigger.
That is what makes this an incredibly remarkable and alarming situation that nobody, and there's more. So
I can see her losing weight with the calorie restriction and the baby sucking it all out of her. You know what I mean? As it's growing, I could see her losing weight, but that distension's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah. So, and it's, and you know, she's a woman of childbearing age. She was menstruating. And nobody seemed to be tracking that or realized that she missed, you know, 8 or 9 periods. Nobody made that connection.
Right.
And here's my question. There was a provider note several weeks before the baby was delivered that documented on the physical exam that her abdomen was, quote, firm and distended. So a lot of like really alarming stuff that we're going to unpack that a little bit.
And not to say that this definitely would happen, but part of a bowel obsessant is listening for bowel sounds. And I mean, you could, if you wanted to and hit the right space, you would hear a heartbeat.
Now, as I had said, this investigation was launched immediately. They started compiling a list of all male staff members at Hacienda and obtaining DNA samples from each and every one of them. And comparing them to the newborn baby to see who was the father. That seemed like the easiest way to figure out what happened. And promptly, they got a match.
BTW, it is often detectable between 18th and 20th week with stethoscopes.
From somebody who worked at Hacienda, the assailant was Nathan Sutherland.
Nathan
was, a 36-year-old
like
man.
Sounds like a douchey name.
Oh, he's the douchiest human being.
Sorry
on this
for
planet.
Any men out there named Nathan Sutherland that are not douchies, but this guy, particularly, sounds like a problem.
He is a big problem. So he's a 36-year-old man. This guy had a wife and 4 children.
Oh. Oh.
So he had been employed at Hacienda for the past 6 years, so since 2012. He had worked there as a licensed practical nurse, and staff had noticed that he would have had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of opportunities to have an encounter with her. Like, no problem. He had just unrestricted access to her at all times, which is just so
that
gross.
That sounds terrifying, unrestricted access.
It really is so scary. That means,
but it's just, ugh.
Yeah, it's just terrible. And so in later interviews, staff reported that in the months leading up to the birth, Nathan had seemed very stressed, on edge, upset.
Oh, so he
when
knew.
Asked what's... I think that he noticed knew. That her belly was getting big, and he said, Oh, fuck. This
yes.
is going to get real shitty for me really soon.
Oh, man.
So people would ask him, hey, what's wrong? And he would say, my wife and I are like having some problems, and we're thinking of pursuing a divorce. And he was stressed about that. But like, he was very on edge. Staff would say, he was very on edge these past few months. And like, I think he knew. He fucking knew.
I can't believe he didn't just like quit his job and leave and try to get away. You know, like.
That's shocking to
me
as well.
If he thought that this was happening, like, at least don't work there. Right?
Exactly.
I mean,
at least try to leave. But he did not. And it might have been because he, you know, kind of knew he was a shitbag and just wanted it all to be over. I don't know. So this, I think he was just like waiting for his world to absolutely fucking crumble, and like crumble it did. So they got this DNA match in January of 2019. So the birth had happened on December 28th, January 22nd. So less than a month later, they had their guy. So this whole thing happened very quickly.
That's good.
And Nathan... Yeah, and that same day that they got the DNA results, January 22nd, Nathan Sutherland was arrested that same day. He was charged with 1 count of sexual assault and 1 count of vulnerable adult abuse.
Oh my goodness.
And while it was evident that she was subjected to long-term sexual assault, prosecutors knew there's really no way to physically trace each and every event back to him, except for this one event that resulted in a baby. So that's really all, unfortunately, all they had to
really
go on, which
once.
Is like so sad.
Mm-hmm.
So he was held on a $500,000 bond. Immediately following his arrest, he was, of course, fired from Hacienda.
Oh, good.
And he also, I should stinking hope so. He also voluntarily surrendered his nursing license. I just barely made it through that. Wow. So we do know that he sexually assaulted her at least once. There is evidence that she was assaulted on a long-term basis, but his involvement in that is only alleged, unfortunately. So he could not be tried or convicted of that. This whole thing obviously raised a plethora of issues for Hacienda administration.
I mean,
so,
I could go down the list of things that I got to say.
I mean... Yep, there's a lot to unpack here.
I got things to say.
So, former human resource manager at Hacienda, Rhonda Pigotti, told The Republic that, quote, it made me sick, but sadly, I'm not surprised.
What?
End quote. Which, to me, is so telling. Like, you're telling me that it does not surprise you that a woman was repeatedly violated inside your place of work?
That you
so
hire
like, wow.
as the human resource person.
Find a fucking new place to work if that's just like a Tuesday to
okay,
you.
Thanks, Rhonda.
Like, I'm sorry. Thanks. So she went on to clarify that the reason she wasn't surprised is that this happened at Hacienda was because of the culture in this workplace. So this culture, she said, was created by Bill Timmons, who was the CEO of Hacienda. And Timmons had worked for Hacienda for 28 years, to be exact, so long time. And during that time, there were innumerable reports of him being sexually inappropriate with female staff members, yelling, losing his temper, verbally assaulting staff, just being completely inappropriate.
And this is not just one building. So he's the CEO of multi-buildings.
Of multiple buildings. So managers who worked with him would later report that just about everybody was like afraid of him because he would just like fly off the handle, like something little would happen and he would lose his fucking shit. He would lose his mind.
Mm.
And so everyone was like, you know, walking on eggshells. He would like, they would say he would turn red in the face. He would beat his hands on the table, like things of that nature, just being a complete toddler, like a literal 2-year-old. One incident that they reported that was reported by a woman named Louise J, who actually worked with Timmons when she ran a thrift store for Hacienda's nonprofit organization. Timmons, during this event, was her direct supervisor. And she told the Arizona Republic that allegedly, you know, they were working together on this event. He introduces himself. She replies. Mm-hmm. And he sort of pretended not to hear her reply and then leaned in and said, what was that? Cunnilingus? Fellatio? And like,
what?
Which is like very shocking and uncomfortable thing to say to somebody that you literally just met in this sentence. Like, what are you doing? And so she immediately was like, what the fuck? Like, you can't talk to me that way. She immediately called him out and was like, nope. Like, yeah. What are you doing? You can't talk to me that way. So he replied,
God.
Listen to this. He replies, why not? Like, making it clear in his body language that he was just trying to intimidate her. Like, that was not, that was a whole intimidation thing that he was doing.
I also going to say, rich white men are thinking, I can get away with this.
Yeah, exactly. Right? I can do whatever I want. Exactly.
Rich, powerful white men, I can do and say whatever I want.
Whatever he wants. And this is only stuff that's been reported. Like, think of the things that, you know, the worst stuff.
Right.
Oftentimes is the stuff that does not get reported. So he goes, why not? And he's like adjusting his body language and like squaring up and trying to make it like he's really trying to like just intimidate the shit out of this woman that he literally is meeting right now in this sentence. So she is a badass and she goes and files a fucking complaint about him immediately.
That a girl.
With that same day, she goes and files a complaint. And there were numerous other accounts of this disturbing behavior, stuff just like this. Like weird interactions that were just really uncomfortable and really intimidating and really inappropriate. Mm-hmm. Despite these complaints, nothing is done. He's still running this organization.
Were the women getting fired?
I don't know that for sure what happened to the women after the complaints had been filed, because a lot of the specific complaints are not public record. Mm-hmm. So back to sort of, you know, because of the multitude of issues surrounding mm-hmm. the care at Hacienda that were being put under a microscope, Bill Timmons resigns from his position as CEO at Hacienda. Thank God.
He doesn't want to deal with the aftermath. He's taking the easy route out.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, he doesn't deserve to have that position. So,
of course,
on January 7th, he resigned. So this was even before we got the DNA results and okay. Nathan was arrested. So first off, so the victim's parents had raised concerns of sexual harassment with their daughter before and had specifically requested only female caregivers in that room. In no way, shape, or form should any male staff member have been involved in her care at any time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as the investigation continues, they found that this request was noted, it was documented, it just was not carried out. And it wasn't that Nathan was flying under the radar and sneaking into her room. He was involved in her care regularly, he was assigned to take care of her mm-hmm. regularly, as were many other male staff members. So now this gets picked up by all major news outlets, and it topped national headlines. Mm-hmm. And in the wake of the media attention, the Arizona governor, Doug Ducey, called for the resignation of the entire board of directors at Hacienda mm-hmm. as well, which, like, damn right.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly after that, the facility was closed down completely.
That was my list of questions. Are they still open?
Yeah, so stay tuned. At the time they closed, 37 residents were under their care and were displaced because of this. But maybe it was a blessing in disguise, even though it was, you know, really inconvenient for them. There was one physician at Hacienda who had documented that her abdomen was firm and distended, who resigned. and another physician who was suspended for their involvement and for documenting similar findings. So back to what the provider findings were and what the diagnosis was.
Yeah.
And, you know, my thought is this. As a provider...
I was just going to ask when, you, what would you do, Kate?
Yeah. So I'm having a lot of trouble with the whole constipation theory, because if I'm suspecting somebody is constipated and on my exam they have a prominent, firm, distended abdomen, I immediately am getting imaging to make sure that they don't have an obstructive gas pattern mm-hmm. and that it doesn't look like they have an obstruction, because that is a very concerning clinical finding.
Mm-hmm.
If we're talking distension from constipation to that degree, that it looks like a simple
KUB, right? A simple KUB would be like, hello.
It's funny you said that, because my literal next sentence is, if these providers had just gotten a simple KUB,
right?
Which is an abdominal upright X-ray, it would have been caught earlier. They would have been able to see the baby's bone mm-hmm. structure and been like, oh shit, she's pregnant. And mm-hmm. maybe at least she would have been able to receive some prenatal care.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she would have been able to have this baby in a medically appropriate setting and, you know, mm-hmm. have been a little bit lower risk. So she had been there for years. They had to know her abdomen was not normally distended like this and that this was a change. And they did. Mm-hmm. They knew this.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see her. I wasn't there. I am fully aware that some women, even at term, can really hide pregnant bellies. I know this. I've seen this.
But the distension didn't go away.
Exactly. And I can also appreciate that a woman like this being pregnant would be the furthest thing from everybody's mind.
Of course.
Like, nobody would be thinking, like, oh, shit, maybe she's pregnant. Like, I can see that why that would not cross some people's minds. But, I mean, did no one notice her missing periods? Did no one see any fetal movement, which can be very visible at the mm-hmm. later stages of pregnancy? I mean, I used to sit and stare at my belly and it would just be hopping all over the place.
Right. Right, absolutely.
Like, nobody noticed that her belly was squirming?
And so also, like, you know, part of bowel assessments is the palpation. And
yes,
you can feel the uterus. You can feel, oh, there's a lump here.
100%.
And then you could be like...
A baby-shaped lump, yes. The Leopold maneuver, right? You can feel the entire baby.
You can feel the head. You can feel the head.
Yes. Yes.
Any of that
so
palpation?
There's...
Yeah.
Yes, there are so many reasons why this is insane to me.
I can understand why it would have gone undetected for a very long time, right? But to get
oh, sure.
but to get to the baby coming out and you still don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's negligence.
Yep.
Super negligence.
It's absolute utter negligence. It's really sad for this poor family and this poor woman.
There are assessments that could have been done that you like you said,
100,000%.
There's other clinical reasons why she was indicated, if they were going the constipation route, to do the KUB. And yeah. then they could have been like, the radiologist is stupid. There's no way she's pregnant. Like, what? There's no, yeah. you know what I mean? Like,
but it would have raised the question.
Yes, it would yes. have. It would yes. have.
Mm-hmm. Like, get a KUB is 100%. And I think that's why it wasn't just a simple, like, oopsie, and these providers, these physicians got terminated and suspended for this
right.
because there was obvious malpractice and negligence here,
part of
in
your
my
assess-
opinion. You know?
Part of your assessment as a provider is testing, examinations. And
yes.
if you would have your assessment hasn't, you know, given you a clue, then I'm going to, like you said, get some imaging.
Exactly. Exactly.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
So, During this investigation unfolding, that following February, Hacienda's license was suspended by the Arizona Department of Health altogether after a male resident was found with maggots on him. This was prior to the facility being closed down. It was part of the reason why they closed down. Shortly after, though, the license for Hacienda was reinstated. A new acting CEO named Perry Petrilli was appointed, and they vowed to improve their oversight, their staff development, their training, as well as their vetting of new employees. Following his arrest, Nathan Sutherland pled guilty to his charges. So there was no big scary trial or anything like that. He pled guilty and he went right to sentencing. So his sentencing was held in December of 2021. And he was sentenced to 10 years in prison. And this is the largest sentence bestowed upon an individual for these charges that he was facing. At his sentencing, he apologized to the victim and her family, stating, quote, "You didn't deserve to be hurt, no matter what was going on in my personal life and the demons I was fighting. I had no right to put you through that," end quote.
You had no right to
Which,
put
like, that's an understatement. Like, put us through what? Like, Are you talking about how you repeatedly sexually violated a completely incapacitated individual?
Mm-hmm.
That's more than putting someone through something. You, I hope, get absolutely annihilated in prison. That's what I hope. Yep. So, as part of his sentence, Sutherland also will be required to register as a sex offender. And he also requires a lifetime supervised probation following his release. So when he gets out, he's never off the radar. He's never really free.
You will be followed forever.
Literally forever, as he should be.
Yes,
at a minimum. Also at the sentencing, Superior Court Judge Margaret LaBianca stated, quote, "It's hard to imagine a more vulnerable adult than the victim in this case," end quote, which I think, like, is so
for sure
accurate.
She can't communicate her thoughts in her mind. She, you know what I mean? Yeah. She can't, like, she's processing it
and
internally without being able to share it with anyone.
Yes. And it must have been the entire ordeal. And for probably years, she was probably just so terrified. I can't even imagine. Now, I'm also going to clarify that we only know and he is only convicted of the one episode of sexual assault. There is evidence that she was repeatedly sexually assaulted, but it's only alleged that that was committed by Nathan Sutherland. We don't know that for sure. We can only infer. So that's alleged that he abused her for a long time. It's only alleged. So
but
during
what do
the time
really
Nathan
think,
was,
though? I mean,
oh, I know what I really think. I'm just saying that's alleged. During the time Nathan was being prosecuted, the victim's family filed a $45 million lawsuit against the state of Arizona. The suit cited that while this was a state-run facility, there was widespread gross negligence and a cultivated circumstance which allowed for the lack of monitoring in long-term care facilities. And they also had specifically cited the request for female staff to care for the victim, which had been completely blatantly ignored. Yep.
I would imagine being a long-term care facility, they're scrutinized to the same regulations that we are. And
I would imagine so, or similar.
I can imagine the state and federal agencies having a field day. I feel like they lived there throughout this. I feel like they had to
100%.
Have lived there.
Yep, absolutely. I agree. Shortly thereafter, in June 2019, all parties really reached an out-of-court settlement for a total of $22.5 million in damages.
Wow.
So, in a written statement, sorry, go ahead.
I want to know how the boy is. We know, you know, we know we don't know his name, but I want to call him the boy. How is he?
I know.
Do we know?
So, I have a little blurb at the end, but there's not really any information on how the baby is doing. We do know that he was put at an immense risk because during the pregnancy, A, there was no prenatal care. B, it's unclear whether he was term or not. And C, the victim received less nutrition than she should because she was on a calorie-restricted diet. She, and also she was on several medications, including phenobarbital, which is
oh,
like
boy.
Black box warning. Do not take this during pregnancy. It is unclear if the baby had any ill effects from the resuscitation or from any of this, but we can hope for the best. And at the baby point, is currently living.
Go ahead. I was going to say, at this point, he's barely five, yep. not even. So yeah. mm-hmm. Time will tell on any effects, really.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know if that's ever going to be released or made public. And right. the baby is currently living with the victim's parents in yep. the San Carlos Apache community on a neighboring reservation. But again, we don't know medically how he's doing. We don't mm-hmm. know functionally if there's any deficit there, unfortunately. Wow. Wow. We can hope for the best. That's all we can
and
hope for.
Imagine the story that unfortunately the grandparents are going to tell when he starts asking about mom and dad.
Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It sounds like, you know, he's very lucky to have loving grandparents who have taken him in and are caring for him. And this, you know, chapter of life where they're supposed to just be enjoying, you know, being grandparents and not really mm-hmm. parents all over again. But. That's
so
what's happening.
To all the other people that work in a long-term care facility, we have a privilege to be able to provide these people a home. And mm-hmm. in your home, it's where your heart is, as the saying says. Home is where your heart is. And we, mm-hmm. they don't live where we work. We work in their right. home. It is our duty to provide them a safe space. And people like this that take the opportunity to abuse them, and at the worst, the sexual abuse, my God, you are the lowest of the low. And it's a privilege to work in a field that we do. And anyone that takes that and just feels like, oh, I can do this and get all my stuff, you know, I don't even know what the saying is. Get your knocks off or whatever it is that you want to say. Mm-hmm. It's gross. It's gross. It's gross. It's gross. And I'm blabbering, but I'm mad.
No, I agree completely. It's the literal worst. And I hate everything about this case. And everybody suffers. And it's just a horrifying thing that this ever happened.
So, like, did Nathan ever describe? So, like, obviously they couldn't. Prove how many times he assaulted her. But they know the one because of the DNA match.
Right.
Did he ever... He pled guilty, but did he ever describe the assault? Did he ever, like, say how he was able to do it without it being a note? Did you know what I mean? Did he ever, like, provide any details or insights or, like, anything?
So there's a lot that is not public record. Again, I think to provide the victim and her family with, like, the most dignity, because she did not choose to be a part of any of this. I mean, nor right. does any sexual assault victim. And she is not the one deciding to press charges, and she is not the one with the lawsuit. It's her, which, I mean, all of it is more than totally understandable.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot that was not made public about the details of the assault from the investigation, and I think they're keeping that under wraps completely purposely. So yeah, there's I wish we had more information on that.
I get that. I want to know how he was able to get away with this. I mean, he didn't get away with it, but I want to know how it came to the fact that he could do this without getting caught.
Exactly.
You know?
For, you know, what seems like, again, allegedly
a long time.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
So it's very sad. And so the victim was moved to another facility in Phoenix, where she resides to this day. And thankfully, medically is doing well, has suffered no apparent lasting physical harm from the birth or the pregnancy. So we can be thankful
for
that.
With the $22.5 million settlement, I would have brought her home and hired 24/7 private caregivers.
100%.
No stranger would ever mm-hmm. be taking care of her in a long-term care facility again. That would be my thought as well.
That
22.5 million needs to go to her having private caregivers and mm-hmm. to care for her son and his future.
She is a very medically complicated person.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm sure, I mean, it's possible to care for anybody at home with any medical ailment, really. But
I know
it might, you know, who knows? Maybe they have her in a very swanky, very beautiful private facility.
I hope
that she is just as comfortable as can be and can, you know, sort of just at least live out the rest of her days with comfort and contentment.
And the highest,
you know, at a very minimum.
And the highest.
And not be scared again.
Right. I hope she has the highest thread count sheets.
100% Egyptian cotton.
Do it.
3,000 thread count or whatever the highest is. I don't even know because I get the Walmart sheets.
Yep.
But
yeah.
I hope she is on the comfiest pillow top mattress. Mm-hmm. And I hope she gets like the yummiest food every single day. And I hope that she gets to, you know, maybe see that baby. Who knows? I'm not sure what the parent, the grandparents have decided to do in terms of visiting and things like that. I don't know. Which, you know, whatever they decide to do, you know, you guys know the situation.
No
you
one,
know your
no
daughter
one knows
and you know your grandbaby.
No one knows how to handle the situation.
Exactly. I am totally not qualified to offer an opinion on what they should do about that.
For
but,
sure.
You know, it's just such a sad situation.
That's
and
hard.
That is the very sad, very disturbing and alarming and shocking case of Nathan Sutherland and Hacienda Healthcare in Phoenix, Arizona.
Ugh. Thank you for listening.
Now we all feel gross.
We feel gross. Thank you for listening, everybody. We appreciate all of you that take the time out of your every other Tuesday and then some to listen to us.
Yes, if we appreciate you guys so much.
If you want to keep finding us, you can search for us on Instagram at MedCrimes Podcast.
You can tweet at us at MedCrimes PC or try. I don't know.
You can find us on Facebook at MedCrimes Podcast.
Or if you wish to become a Patreon, you can find us at www.patreon.com/medcrimespodcast. And don't forget to send us your crazy stories so that we can finally put together another break room banter because that was fun.
You just took my last spot.
I'm sorry. I'm feeling
selfish
today.
Because the crazy stories get sent to us at medcrimes@gmail.com.
Okay. Sorry, Devon.
Listen,
I love you.
You had a bad day.
I did. I'm blaming everything on the bad day. The socket set fallout, okay, was just the cherry on top of a really just crummy-ass day, and yikes. And Brad, I'm sorry if I misplaced something. You know, I did my best, all right? I did my best with putting it back together, okay?
And that's
the
that.
End of that. Love ya.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Stay tuned.
Stay safe out there.
Bye.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.